East Wenatchee, Washington, July 1987. Claire stared, numb, at the chaos before her. Two sheriff's cars, two city cop cars, a fire truck, and an ambulance crowded her driveway. The trouble had begun 20 minutes earlier with a scream. The sound had turned her gut to ice. She had raced through the apple trees toward the sound, ducking branches, as the scream lured her out of the orchard. The sound was coming from the dig site, and for that she felt a modicum of relief. It meant no worker had been run over by a tractor, mauled by the mower, or shattered bones in a fall from the ladder. The sound led her to the chain-link fence that surrounded the pits, and she hooked her fingers through the gaps. She panted, "Is someone hurt?" The gate to the fence creaked open and slammed shut. Spencer skirted the corner and put an arm around Claire, pulled her into him, and gently guided her away. "We need to call the police," Spencer said in the same tone and volume that someone might say, "We need to make a cup of tea." He navigated her toward the house. "We're going to call 911, but there's no rush. Dead is dead." His voice was flat. "Everything will be okay. Trust me, Claire." Trust him? Someone was dead, and she didn't know who or how or why. She only knew it happened on her property, nearly in her own front yard. When they got to the house, Spencer called 911. Soon, sirens wailed up Grant Road. Lots of sirens. Men and women jumped out of cars and trucks, and Spencer led them calmly to the body. Claire stood on the veranda, stunned. An hour passed before a man with a long, craggy face walked up to her with Spencer and a gangly deputy on his heels. "I'm Detective Wayne Taggart," the man said. "May we talk in the house?" "A homicide?" Queasy, she turned to go inside. Spencer asked, "Claire, are you all right?" The deputy stopped him. "You need to stay here, sir." "I'm okay," she managed, embarrassed to discover her throat had tightened. "Don't say anything to him," Spencer ignored the deputy. "We need to call your attorney." "My attorney?" she repeated dully. "You do have an attorney, don't you?" "No." "Then don't say anything. I'll find one for you." He turned to the detective. "Hear that, detective? She's not going to talk to you until an attorney is present." "I'll wait. Meantime, you tell your people no one goes anywhere until we say." "I will, but first I'm going in to use her phone." Spencer walked past the detective into the house. Claire gazed out toward the yard. Her thoughts drifted back to the day she had made the phone call that started all this. Carlos had tried to talk her out of it. He'd said what's buried should be left buried. Why in God's name hadn't she listened? Chapter 2. 4 months earlier, March 1987. Claire Courtney tramped through the orchard, a willowy figure in a long-sleeved, blue cotton shirt tucked into Levi's. Her wheat-blonde hair, streaked by the sun, roped down her back in a loose braid. Carlos Barbosa, the foreman, stood between rows of trees, turning something over in his hand. "What's going on?" Claire had been working since dawn and hadn't slept much the night before. She glanced at the gas-powered trencher they had rented to dig the new irrigation line. "We're getting charged by the day on this trencher, Carlos. Shouldn't someone be using it?" "Juan was digging the trench and this came up." Carlos held up a cream-colored, chiseled, pointed rock, about 10 inches long. Claire took it, brushed off some dirt, held it up to the light, and turned it back and forth. "Wow, it looks like a gigantic arrowhead," she said, tiredness evaporating. "I found stuff like this as a kid down by the river, but nothing this big or this color." "There's more." Carlos pointed to the ground where two more like it lay. She knelt down, brushing dirt away. "What do you think they are?" "I think they are trouble," she almost laughed. Carlos wasn't usually given over to dramatics. "Really? Trouble?"